and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the one and only Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Well, hello. How are you?
I am fabulous. It's Tuesday. It's a big, big night of TV tonight. The Summer House Aftermath thing is going to air. We are so excited to talk about it. That'll be tomorrow, of course, though. Even though some of us may have already seen it, and we will just keep our mouths shut until then. But today is Below Deck Med. Very exciting. Join us on Patreon, patreon.com/watchorcrappens for bonus episodes, ad-free listening, free newsletter, video, Crappens on Demand. You can watch us, not just listen. The Foolish McGaggy, okay? Discord, it's great. It's a whole community. It's a whole life. It's a whole full Crappens experience over there. So come join us for that. And I just want to say also, as some of you know, I have a little Substack on the side where I talk about food, and I wrote a very lengthy cookbook review over the weekend for a cookbook called Better at Home by Clu Henry, and it's such a good cookbook. So I encourage you all to go check it out and read my review, mainly because I put a lot of time into it on this one. So that's NBD.
Yeah, those are great. My aunties all are huge fans.
Thank you.
They're like, when's Ben's new newsletter coming? I'm like, shut up.
You're like, I've
not heard about me
week.
And my piano recital that I'm giving in my home.
I feel like a little kid.
You're like I literally write a newsletter every single week.
I learned how to play Willie Nelson. What are you going to say about that? Send it to your voicemail, Auntie from Hell. Listen,
but I made chicken with olives.
They love it. They really. It's a great. It is a good newsletter. I subscribe to it as well. Also, I was on Sarah Gailey's podcast, Andy's Girls. We talked for 2 hours about Summer House Part 3 reunion and Jesse's timeline and all that good stuff. So if you need even more Summer House in your life, it's out today. So go check it out.
Wow. That's huge. So yeah, check out all our little side things that we've been up to. And now let's focus on the main event, which is hopping on this yacht in the Med in Croatia, Dubrovnik. So she went to Dubrovnik on TWA, yada, yada, yada. If you know that song, tell Norma. So the point is, we're in Croatia. It's night one.
Or as Norma calls it, Shlubrovnik.
She's got to ring them bells, Taco Bells.
Yeah, so here we are. Nathan is on the phone with Gail, pissed because he feels pressure to name the obvious person lead deckhand, which would be Jill. But he doesn't want to because he doesn't like Joe now. Because Joe's a dick. But also because Nathan's pretending he's like a better person than Joe. When we all know he's not really. Not that much. I mean, if so, maybe a smidge. But, you know, Nathan has had a child now. And that makes him a good person in his eyes.
Right. Exactly. I do think that Nathan is... probably, I do think he's like a little better than Joe. Although his reactions on social media last year were pretty disgusting. So he's definitely like losing on that front, on, you know, like xenophobic fronts. I think that's really bad. But he is, I think Joe is really bottom of the barrel when it comes to being a fuckboy on Bravo. Like he's really one of the worst that's out there. So, you know, half six of one, half a dozen of another. And that does not include brain cells with these guys.
Oh,
zing. So Nathan is like, he knows probably deep down that Joe should be lead deckhand, but he doesn't want to do it. My solution is just don't give out. Why would you be even giving this out on the first charter anyway? Don't you want to see how they all fare? I mean, if Aisha's not even giving out stripes yet, like why are you even giving out lead deckhand?
Yeah.
It's not even like a real role.
Do the decky thing. I mean, the service thing or the daisy thing. We're like, I'm going to wait to see how you do, ladies. And then give stripes out later, you know. But he doesn't. And he knows that Sandy wants it. And he knows that Joe deserves it. And it's pissing him off. So he's got like anger issues. Like he's handling it terribly. And also you're not great at leading. First of all, we've seen multiple examples of this, and you kind of ran into the dock last week, and you're about to do it two more times today. So,
yeah.
Yay! Yeah. Let's get into it.
He really, He's really treating this yacht like it's like one of those inflatable raft things that you go down the lazy river with and you just bump into the side and just float back into, yeah. into the
rapids. He's just holding a beer, you know?
Yeah. He's like in a tube.
Just waiting for the river to stop.
I mean, he's not, I would say that his reservations are not totally without merit because Joe is a total underminer and he is a toxic person in the workplace. He will say and do things to get ahead if need be. If he feels threatened, he is going to launch a stealth campaign to poison the waters against you. So Nathan's not totally wrong for really not wanting this guy as his number two. But he's going to launch that stealth campaign no matter what. So at least put him in the position where he can be more helpful.
Right, but be smart about it. And when Sandy is saying, why don't you want him as lead deckhand? Say, listen, we didn't get along at the end of last season. He's already undermining me with the crew. He's already talking bad about me. He's already trying to like put his hands up and be like, your fault. He's doing a lot of undermining things. So that's making me cautious. But instead, Sandy asks him anything. He's like, and he just sweats and like tries to talk his, you know, tries to like cute face his way into it. And it's like, that's just, it's bad leadership. You know, so yeah. Despite how shitty Joe is, which Joe is shitty, and I think all the reasons you just gave are so correct, but the fact is Nathan shouldn't really be leading. Nathan's not good at this.
Yeah.
And Nathan would also be as much of a fuckboy as Joe if he had had the opportunity. Let's face it.
Yeah. He really should be called bad, young, unreliable Nathan, if you ask me. So...
A person could develop a baby.
So he's like, well, you know, Joe will be Joe. But what if he gets in the way of my fucking season? I want to have words with him. And Gail's like, fair enough, for your sake, I hope they sound. And he's like, I don't care. I want to pick someone I actually trust. I mean, look, I've got this guy. He's 35. He seems like motivational. I mean, I can't even believe he's 35. That's a senior citizen. He's still walking around. He could teach us all something.
Could you believe it? I can't believe he even remembers my name. You know, I've been trying to feed him applesauce and prunes. But last year, Joe was my lead deckhand. But this year, I don't feel comfortable doing that. I forgot that he was lead deckhand last year. So he's already been in this position. Okay, come on now. So after everything we've gone through, my career is really important to me. I'm a young bosun and I want to carry on. We've crashed once already. We don't need to crash again. I don't trust Joe. Like, okay, relax. Just put him in the position and we can all move on with our lives. We heard you. We've seen you. Like, none of us actually really care who gets to be lead deckhand on this boat. So can we just like move the needle and get on with it?
Yeah. So then we go to Joy cleaning the galley. And talking to, I don't know, everyone's just cleaning and stuff. And of course, Aisha's like, wow, amazing job, everybody. And Joy's like, you did amazing. Sleep tight, everybody. And she's blowing kisses.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Jen's like, yeah. Fucking bitch, who's she to say that? Who's she to tell us we did a good job? So this Jen chick is like a young Tina Fey. I can only see Tina Fey's face.
I see Victoria Dillaseps.
Who's that?
Personally. Victoria de Lesseps. Maybe like a mixture of Tina Fey and Victoria de Lesseps.
Okay. But she's an asshole. Okay. Her face may look like Victoria de Lesseps and Tina Fey, but her soul looks like a puckered butthole.
I know. But I think in a way that I like, it's like love I it. Enjoy. Yeah.
Love it.
Sometimes absolutely we meet assholes on the show and we're like, get off the boat. Sometimes we meet them and we're like, good for
stay
you.
Stay forever. Yeah, stay forever and also become the captain because you are unhinged and you're gonna lose it and I'm here for it. I love every second. Apparently, Captain Sandy was on Watch What Happens saying that Joe, you know, Joe's a womanizer and she doesn't like that, and that like one of the most unreliable people, or I don't know the exact question because I can't remember Instagram posts that well, but. Basically, she dissed Jen. Like, ugh. Jen dissed Jen. Wow.
Oh, wow.
She just, yeah. And she doesn't like her. So I guess Jen is going to get fired. And I'm already pissed off at Sandy for firing Jen. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that. Because Jen is the sort of asshole that I really, really enjoy. And I loved her passive-aggressive retribution for Kaylee taking charge of the tablescape. And the retribution happens right now. when Jen is like, oh, hey, Kelly, just remember, no shoving of the placemats anywhere. I've noticed it a few times now. I was like, wow, checking her placemat shoving frequency. That's really like, and you know, like the thing is this, I was so happy for Jen in that moment, because I know what it's like when someone pisses you off and you don't want to make a scene. So you just try to get a small victory somewhere and you just make that tiny little thing and you're like, got him, to you, to like Jen, you know, that's just like, it's like, oh, like she should be carried through like the streets of the city, like Katniss Everdeen with her fiery dress or something. She's like, I told her about the placemats. I won.
Yes. And also she's getting revenge because she looks at Kaylee as being so bossy. She's like, who is she to boss me around? So she's like, oh, really? Well, the placemats are in a, they're being shoved somewhere, and I don't like it. And Kaylee's like, placemats? Where, placemats shoved where now? She's like, the lunch ones.
You can't even tell the difference between the two placemats. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. You make a tablescape, and yet to you, all the placemats are the same. And then you shove them? I don't think so.
But wait, I put them neatly in the drawer under the... She goes, oh, really? Yeah, well, it's supposed to go in the cupboard underneath the naked lady. And it, neatly? Yeah. I mean, can anything be neat when it's in the wrong place?
I think it's like pretty much like yachting 101. Lunchtime placemats get put nicely under the naked lady in a cupboard. Everyone knows. Everyone knows.
Also, could you be more specific? Because there was a half-naked lady doing pole dancing on an umbrella. I was waiting for that umbrella. She's like, oh my God, I'm like pole dancing on an umbrella. And the other girls are like, yeah. I was like, please break. I just want that umbrella to break.
Yeah.
And possibly stab her in the thigh, because this is crazy. Get off the umbrella.
This is the first resilient umbrella in the history of umbrellas. Normally umbrellas, like, if they have a chance to flop over or blow away or invert, they will take it.
They should remake the like walking platform with that umbrella, because it is very, it's like unbreakable.
It's like every umbrella known to man will just like flop out of its hole. You can have an umbrella that is in the hole in the table, and its base is in the sand block that holds it down. There's a gust of wind, and the umbrella's like, I'm out! It just like flies up and out and just goes off to the dock. I'm like, but this umbrella is fine? Strange.
They should put this umbrella in Nathan's hands for every time he crashes the boat into something.
I know. Yeah, just like, it's just a protective force. But yeah, so the placemats not put in the right place. So Kaylee's like, well, we were trying to keep the decorations together. That's why I did that. Sorry, it was like intentional. That was her way of saying, I'm so sorry that I did it properly. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, she knows what this girl's doing. And Jen tells us, I really feel like I'm the most qualified to be a second stew because I do have years more experience than Kaylee. And now she's vying for that second stew role by trying to be this happy little go lucky cheerleader. I do not trust it. I see you, Smiley. I see you.
Future purser here. Out of the way. So then Jen is like saying, like, I just need everything in its place. So let's put you in the trash can. Thank you.
Yeah, I need everything in its place. Oh, yeah, there's the gates of hell opening for you to go. Okay.
Can we call up a shark so I can feed you to it? Thank you so much.
And Kelly's like, oh, okay. Well, we'll learn. I'll learn how you like to work it. So just let me know. She has that like back scratching of her butt. I'm like, all right. Oh, I'm listening to you.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Now, listen, Kaylee, at first I was worried because I thought, oh, no, Kaylee is going to be this too nice person who's trying to impress. Kaylee sees what Jen is doing, and Kaylee is going to win this war. She's like, oh, really?
Yeah.
You think you're going to go try and make me look stupid and talk shit behind my back? I'm going to undermine you in the most effortless way you've ever seen. So enjoy yourself, purser.
Yeah, she's perky. But she's not dumb.
She's not dumb. She gets her good. She gets. Wait, what'd you say to finish it?
It's not. That's the most dangerous perky. Perky, but not dumb.
Yeah, intelligent perky. It's a very scary combination.
It's terrible. It's a very scary combination. I'll tell you, someone who is not that perky and maybe not that smart is Cooper. Cooper's on the bridge. And what's so funny is Cooper is from Charleston. And on Love Island, there's a guy named Caleb who's from Charleston. And I swear to God, these are the same people. I was like, I'm waiting for it to be revealed that they're brothers. Or is this just the way guys in Charleston look? I'm like, they look exactly the same to me. Did you see
that?
They
look the same. They talk the same. They're very similar. Yeah, they are very similar. On Love Island, that one, we were just talking about this before we recorded, but that one is telling the girl, he's like, yeah, you know, I'm from Charleston. She goes, what do you like to do? And he's like, oh, I like line dancing. You know how to do that? She's like,
I never line dance, but like, do you know how to like dance with one other person?
He's like, yeah, I could do that too.
I can't.
Did you see? And this guy seems very similar.
Did you see there was a discussion between two people? I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was Kenzie, but I don't remember. But someone was saying how like they were Southern Belle. And they're like, what is the man version of Southern Belle? And the other person goes, cowboy. I was like, okay. No, that's not. No.
What would be the opposite of a Southern Belle?
It's not cowboy. I feel like Southern Belle would have like some like Colonel Sanders type. Someone like who's a like, Southern gentleman. It's Foghorn Leghorn. Okay, but it's not I'm not seeing it as a cowboy.
A cowboy?
Right?
Well, I don't know.
It's a Southern gentleman. It'll be, I don't know.
It's a Southern knocker. He's a Southern door. He's a Southern knocker.
Southern ring cam.
Yeah, I don't know. So Nathan is fist bumping Coop because now Nathan is going to figure out who he can make lead deckhand. He's going to try and pick anyone but Joe. So he's like, okay, well, this is your radar and that's the land. Okay. This is land right here. He's like, yeah, so land. So if there's significant movement inside the circle, wake up Captain Sandy. And he's like,
this is my first anchor watch. My land? It's just different color than the water. How am I supposed to know what that is? I'm a little insecure about my knowledge of the nautical world in general. I'm just nervous. Like, how do boats even float? It's crazy.
How come you can put soap in the water and that'll float, but if you put a spoon in the water, that'll sink? I just don't get it.
Someone help me.
By the way, I looked it up. We're both idiots. The according to Google, the male version of a Southern Belle is a Southern gentleman. So
yeah, I said that.
You go. Oh, you did say it? Okay, good.
Well, was my first answer. Then I changed it to Southern Knocker because I was going opposite of Belle, but.
Yeah. It could have been a Southern Gaston.
And Southern Belle just sounds like so much more creative than Southern Gentleman.
Yeah, because a gentleman's a gentleman sort of everywhere. But like a Southern Belle feels more unique. I think we need to come up with a better phrase for that. But anyway, back to this Southern gentleman, he is learning Anchor Watch, as you were talking about. And Nathan's like, thus here's your wind monitor. You have all the episodes here every season. They're all there on demand. They're never going anywhere because they were built on this platform. So, you know, to catch up, Captain Sand will be real happy with you if you can talk with her about it.
This is a wind monitor, otherwise known as Captain Sandy.
Yeah, that's right. I'm monitoring wind.
Yeah.
Biggest viewer across all demographics. Okay. Yeah. Love wind.
Season 12.
Yeah, if it goes above 12, wake her up. And Cooper's like, okay. Oh, God. And Nathan's saying if he has someone green, he wants to show him how to do it right. Okay? Mm-hmm. So he's like, all right, good night, bro. So he leaves him alone. Meanwhile, the girls are still sliding down the umbrella. Like, oh, my God, it's like a pole.
Meanwhile, Cooper is the first person in the history of all below decks to be put on Anchor Watch and actually, like, take initiative and basically take initiative in the task. Most people, when we see them on Anchor Watch, they sit on a chair and then they doze off or they do something else or they just go back to their room and go to sleep. But he's like staring at the numbers and he's very scared because the numbers are inching towards 12, it's like 10, 11, 11, 5, 11, 10 again, 9, 11, 10, 11. And like it goes to 12 for a second. He's like, what do I do? What do I do? So he goes in and he basically wakes up Captain Sandy, and she could not be any happier because she's like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love it. No, you're good. You know, I love someone who wants to learn, who wants to do things. Like, he's cute, you know? I love that Cooper's this proactive. That means he's paying attention. And people who pay attention are people who hug. And even though it's blowing 10 knots, it's fine. Because I want green crew members to get experience. Because the more experience you get, the more you need a nap. And the crew members that nap are the crew members that are happy. You see what I'm doing? So watch out, Somali pirates. I've got a new green stew or group green decky coming for you. Okay, I should probably go back to bed now.
You know, some people need bread, and some people need to be needed. So thanks, Coop. Thanks for waking me up. Felt great, okay? Listen, it was a little above 10 knots. I get it.
And he's like, I promise, it moved.
He goes, I believe ya. I believe ya. Okay, wake me up again.
She loved it. She was so happy. Did.
I like when she was like,
I believe ya. I believe you. Okay there, Coop.
Okay, here's a blanket. Everything's okay. Scrap yourself. It was just a bad dream. You go to sleep now. So it's the next morning. Everyone wakes up, and Joy is going to figure out breakfast. She's like, I'm going to find this solution like MacGyver. And I'm like, it's just like, give them oatmeal. It's not that deep. And
it's like, why are you wearing a croissant as a mustache?
Well, I'm sorry for watching American TV. Okay.
So Kat and Aisha are in the main salon, and everything's prepped. Everything's prepped. You're ready. You're ready, Aisha.
It's like, oh my God. The way you did the fork is absolutely amazing. It's tear-inducing.
They cut some Aisha faces today. Some Aisha faces. They had one where she was just like this for a solid 5 seconds on screen. And I'm sorry for people who aren't on video, but I have to do it for Ben.
I know.
Just
in pause. I know. I saw that moment.
What the hell?
Oh my God. And then so Kaylee's asking Aisha, let's see, how did you go on sleep? She's like, oh my God, you guys left the place spotless. That's beautiful. So they're going to be going to this island of Lokrum, Ronnie Karam. And it's
perfect because it's a lot of flat rocks right next to there. We can go cliff jumping.
God, nothing says fun like cliff jumping into an area that's next to a bunch of flat rocks. I'm like, give me those head injuries. I am ready for them.
I think this these guests have enough. Honestly, they're still swinging from umbrellas. They do not need more head injuries. Okay. Meanwhile, we've got Joy and Luke flirting. She's not really flirting. He's really flirting because he's a very giant man who needs a lot of protein. And he is going to flirt with you. And I'm not saying that Joy isn't worth the flirting. I'm just saying beware any muscular man flirting with the chef because all he wants is protein. You know, that's the all. Man will use you for protein.
He reminds me of one of those really big Dalmatians. There's one in my neighborhood. It's like a Great Dane Dalmatian combo. It's huge. It's a huge, big old dog with spots.
Sounds like a lot of knee problems to me.
Yeah. Cruella would die. But yeah, that's his vibe. And you're right. He just wants a snack. He wants some kibble and a steak on the side if possible, which he actually gets.
Yeah. So Kaylee's like, you working your magic again? She's like, I'm making bagels. Homemade bagels. We don't see that often on this show.
Is she
trying to get me to marry you? I will propose. Yeah, they were homemade. You can always tell a homemade bagel because they look crazy. They're never just like perfectly round little things. They look like.
Oh, yeah. Because you know what? I don't think I heard her say I'm making bagels. I thought she was just putting out donuts. And I was like, those donuts look crazy. But they were homemade bagels. That makes so much more sense. Wow. I've actually been thinking about trying to try my hand at making bagels. But they take hours. They take hours and hours to make.
There's a lot that goes into a bagel. That's why they're all so different. You know, as you know, you have Bagel Thursdays. You're a bagel aficionado. There's no, every place has a different bagel. Every brand has it's not like just buying white bread, you know, where it's all very similar. Bagels are intense.
There's a lot of factors, and there's like multiple rises, and there's like a boiling, and then there's a baking, and then you got to add like the barley syrup or something to it. Like there's like a whole bunch of crap is on the
That's just so much.
Ronnie reacting to the barley syrup.
It's just so much, you know. It's one of those things, like it's a dollar. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I will give you the dollar to not.
I'm going
to
do it once. Yeah, I'm going to do it once. But like, you really, I think like if I were to do it, I think I would have to like wake up at 6 a.m. in order to have my bagel ready at 10 a.m. I think it's like a 3 to 4 hour process.
Isn't it even longer? Don't they have to like sit and stuff or rest?
There's an initial rise, and then you have to. Then you have to like, I think you have to like make them into the shape, and then there's like another rise, and then you do something. There may even be another mini rise, and then you do the boil, and then you do the baking.
That's a lot. There's just so much.
I know.
Like, how did people even invent bread? It takes so many steps. Like, how did you figure out all the rises and stuff? Was it just a lazy person who's like, oh, I've made the dough. Oh, I'm tired. They just leave it there and like, oh, it's bigger now. All right, I'll mush it. Yeah. Oh, I don't want to do
think
it
so.
I don't want to do it. And then they mush it a little more and they're like, oh, I can't finish this. And then finally someone's like, just fucking bake it. And like, this is perfect. Well, I gave up five times.
I guarantee all the food that we enjoy, it was an accident. There was a Carol Burnett sketch years ago. I remember seeing it as a kid where she's like a cave woman and her caveman husband comes home and she's like, here, try this. She's like, what is this? She's like, it's milk. He's like, oh, this is delicious. How'd you make it? She's like, well, I was in the field and I saw a cow and it looked so pretty and I just decided to go up and just squeeze it. And the stuff came out. So I just put this cup under the cow and I drank it, and the guy's like, oh, why? But like
I assaulted a cow. I basically assaulted a cow.
If you think about it, so much of our food is like, what were you thinking? How did you even come up with this?
Yeah.
What was wrong with you? Why did you decide to go up to that cow and squeeze it and then drink?
Yeah.
This fucked up. This was the thing.
Yep. Well, as someone who's eaten a lot of pencil erasers, I get it. So Nathan is talking to Luke and he's telling him to go get changed. And Luke's like, thanks. If by some miracle I have energy in the morning, can I work out on the bow? I really want to work that out. He's like, sure. Mm-hmm. So then in the galley, Kat spills champagne off a tray. And she's like, I am definitely at the bottom of like the hierarchy. And it's not something I'm like used to. Cause like academically, I've always been like top of my class, like top of everything. I wanted to be a lawyer at some point. I got a 165 on my LSAT. I could probably get a 175. Like I work so hard to be the best. My mom and dad are so pissed. Like, thanks for my school. I'd rather clean toilets.
I really appreciated this monologue. It's like the first time in a long time where we've had a Stu come on here and acknowledge like what they're really doing here, as opposed to Jen, who's like, I'm gonna be more successful than my two very successful Manhattanite parents. I'm gonna be someone who cleans toilets. I'm like, okay, like like, let's not really forget what you're doing here. And it's not any snobbery about the profession, but like, let's like, it's just funny how there are so many people that come onto the show. Like, I'm looking to transition into like the golden life. I want to be around glitz and glamour. I want to be that. It's like, you're still cleaning toilets though. You're still serving other people. And that's a perfectly fine profession, but like, don't lose sight. Like, don't confuse. You're not above deck. You're below deck. And I like that Kat's like, yep, I'm cleaning toilets. That's what I'm doing. Sorry, mom and dad.
Yeah, I really like Kat. So she sees herself in the mirror or a window, and she's like, oh my God, why am I shaped like this? My posture's crazy.
I'm like, is that me on screen? I also like that she's not even trying to vie for first or for like second or third. She's just like, yeah, I'm bad at this. I'm just fully bad. Don't worry about me.
I don't care. I get to travel with like lots of hot people. I'm fine with it.
I'm just happy to be here.
So then Aisha is talking to the guests and asking where Matt and Angela. And the guy's like, do you think we could have breakfast without them? Come on. My God. One of the ladies is like, come on, mom and dad. We're starving. Do you think our mom and our dad? Except they're selling you. Which I guess happens, you know. But the mom, the one they're calling mom, looks so much like Rula from Real Housewives of Rhode Island. It's I think it's the lips. I think it's like the lip work. But yeah, I just see Rula and I feel so almost bad for her. Except I'm like, run. Where you get move, go. I'll come pick you up.
So then we then Aisha is offering pastries, and then she's talking to Jen and Kat, and she's asking if they want to get started on cabins. So they do that. And now we go to Matt, and he's talking to Sandy, and Sandy's like, "Hey, so Matt, what did you think of your dessert? Did it make your hair happy?" And he's like, "Oh God, yeah. Oh wow. And I love those little pink butts last night. That was amazing." I'm like, "Those were hearts." You idiot. Yeah, those are raspberry hearts.
This is the guy, every single thing is sexual to him. He's like, "Yeah, it looked like a bunch of little pink asses. I loved it."
I'm like, those were hearts, not butts. But I'm glad you have revealed your Rorschach test to us.
So the crew mess, Josie's Nathan, and he's like, "Morning, lad. I had a good solid 3.5 hours of sleep or something like that." "Well, why?" "Well, I woke up at 4 today." And he's like, "But your shift is at 5, and now I have to put you down essentially an hour early. Let's just stick to our roster, shall we?"
He's like, "If I were Chief Stew, I would have woken up myself a little bit earlier." He's like, "The reason why I'm here, it's a showcase. My career advancements to Captain Sandy. You know, I've been a bosun before. I can do any job that you give me, but is Nathan going to allow me to show my true colors, my true potential? Probably not." You're not here to show your career advancement to Captain Sandy. You're here to do your job. And so settle down. Wake up when you're supposed to,
Joe. But he knows. He knows what's happening. He knows that Nathan is going to block him. Like, I love that about both of them this season, that they're starting off like, "I'm going to ruin this fucker's life."
Yeah, seriously. Joe's like, "Thank you. It won't happen again. I just thought I'd let you know so I don't keep anything from you." "Oh, sure. Thank you. Thank you for pretending this is a virtuous moment of honesty." So the guests are all very happy with the food, and Sandy is doing one of her favorite activities, which is putting up some binoculars and looking out in the distance going, "Huh, that's it.
God, I love that banana." So Joe and Luke are now on deck, and Joe's like, "We're looking spot on. Scuppers is Nathan's pet hate, so I get on my hands and knees to do that. You really want to please him? Get on your hands and knees. He demands it."
And Luke's like, "Dude, you've got very strong character. You're a basin." And Joe's like, "I love this gig." He's like, "Yes, I know you do. This gig suits you well, too." I'm like, this is sort of sounding like the beginning of a gay porn. So not so mad at it. Yeah, we're ready for it.
So then Nathan and Sandy, he's like, "Well, I wanted to have a chat with you about regarding the point in the lead deckhand." She's like, "Okay, who is it going to be? Does his name rhyme with snow? No. Does it rhyme with bow? No. Does it rhyme with no? No."
I'm running out. You got to help me. He's like, "I'm thinking about Cooper. I'm sorry. No, I didn't mean Cooper. Jesus Christ, Cooper's so green. God, I love how green he is. You know, he woke me up 3 times last night just because he saw an ant on the floor. I was so happy.
I woke up this morning. He was just standing in the middle of the bridge, staring at the screen, saying, 'There is a castle on a cloud. I used to go there in my sleep.'" So no, not him. Luke. Luke is very professional. She's like, "Luke? Yeah, he's very attentive." "Wait, come on now. Why not Joe? Why not Joe? Come on." He's like, "Why not Joe? Well, I feel like the past seasons, Joe's been great. Okay, he's helped me out. But there's certain times I feel like I can't trust him enough. I trust Luke more than I can trust Joe." Now, this is where he should have just been like, "I can't trust that little fucker."
Yeah. Period. Exactly.
He's undermining me, and he's trying to make me look stupid, and he doesn't like me because I stood up against him acting like crap to that girl all season who he treated like total dog shit, and he's not a good person. I don't want him under me. You deal with it. Replace him, and I'll put your replacement up as lead deckhand or whatever.
No, what he really should have said on top of that was, "I can't trust him, and on top of that, Luke has a willingness to learn, and I really feel like I not only can I mold him, you can mold him. And he's just a sponge. And yes, he's a little rough around the edges, but by the end of the season, I know he is going to be an inspiration to everyone. Sandy will be like, oh yeah, oh God, he can learn. Oh my God, just put him in the tender, let him crash it 5 times. I don't care, it's a learning experience.
He's got a t-shirt that says hugs, not drugs.
Oh my God, just climaxed, okay.
Put him in charge of the whole boat.
That's what he needed to do. Yeah. Sandy's like, listen, I'm having a hard time with this decision. I mean, why did they move wind from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m.? Okay, some of us have to wake up early in the morning. Oh, and your decision too. I don't like that either. I'm struggling with it. Is it cool to wait for the second charter? Why don't you wait? Okay, just maybe think on it.
Yeah, she's like, Joe has more experience than Luke, and Nathan's worked with Joe before. Nathan needs to pause and think about the decision before he makes it. Okay, well, yes, Joe has the skill set, but he's going to try and undermine me. Does he have my best interest at heart? Is he going to fuck every girl on the boat and ruin crew morale? Okay, you don't care that he fucks every girl on the boat. So stop bringing that into it, and that's not business. I mean, in any other job, yes, it could be business, but this is below deck. Like, suddenly you guys are going to make that matter. And why are you making me stand up for Joe? I hate Joe.
Yeah, I just, I'm not really standing up for Joe. I think this is clearly he's definitely going with emotions on this decision. But I don't know. I don't think it's like, I really don't think it's the worst. But then later on, I'm like, well, yeah, maybe he should go with Joe because Luke did crash the tender right away. But
or just stop being such a wuss and say, Joe, we don't get along.
I just say it, stand in it.
Yeah, we don't get along. We ended badly. I don't agree with how things went last season. Let's start over. You know, you're obviously the best person for this job. I'm going to trust you with that. And I'm going to trust that you're not going to go undermine me and try and do all this. I mean, be an adult. But he's being as undermining as Joe, you know, and then he's flying off the handle and bringing personal stuff into it. He's just bad. He's just bad at this.
Yeah. Yeah. God, thank God they're not both women, because you know what? Women are so emotional. Thank God these guys have it all together.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Luke is flirting with Joy. He's like, hello, Schiff. And she's like, hello, how are you? And he's like, I'm amazing. How are you? And they're just like, you know,
he does the French thing. So many French people have told me this. Why are you laughing? It's like, I'm just, I don't know. Why are you laughing? It's like, when I see you smiling, you know, I don't know. I laugh when you smile. I don't know. You should be lucky. I am smiling at you.
So now here's his story. He's like, growing up, I was scrawny, weird kind of voice kid, and I never really had the confidence to go to girls. But when I was 15, my mom gifted me a men's health book, which is a really funny thing to gift your son.
No kidding. Son. What the hell is a mom? She's like, stop.
Here's a magazine.
The mom's like, all right, enough jerking off to international mail. Here's a men's fitness. Okay, geez. At least there's more words in it and you can read something.
So he basically read it and then got into it, and took him 14 years. And in 2019, he made it to the cover of Men's Health. So there you go. His backstory. I actually like Luke so far. Famous last words. I'm sure he will reveal himself to be a douchebag soon enough. But you can tell he was like a dork growing up. Because
no, he was not a dork. What was
he makes
the
all
picture
these,
they showed
these
is like a completely normal child. What?
He makes all these weird voices that I feel like someone who was like a nerd would have made. You know, I feel like anyone who is like popular and cool would never do the weird little jokes that he does. So I feel like it's an encouraging sign.
Well, God forbid someone makes weird little voices around here.
No, I'm saying it's a good thing. I'm saying that someone who is popular doesn't have to rely on developing that instinct, right? Because they're just accepted. Are you defending the popular people right now?
No, I'm defending myself. Like, what the hell? What are you making fun of me for? And by the way,
it's all of us. We're sitting here both doing it.
I know, it's true. My penis has looked at a lot of internet or a lot of men's fitness catalogs, and I still struggle with my weight. So what the hell kind of reading was he doing?
Well, he just was.
My penis is very strong, though.
He just didn't have a lot of activities, I guess. I don't know. Not a lot of interest.
I don't know. I just, whenever it's like a really hot guy, is like, oh, I was just such a dorky kid. And then they cut to him as a kid. He's like a perfectly cute kid. I'm like, oh, I'm sure. Okay. You're real hideous.
I thought he looked legitimately dorky. I was like, okay, I'm going to give him this one. I think I just like that he's done like one or two little weird like voices, like jokey voice things where I'm like, I love that he is like this big buff guy, but he still sees himself as a dweeb. I love when guys are like that.
I don't think he sees himself as a dweeb.
You don't think
so? But I get you. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I'm not getting huge douchebag vibes from him. So far, I'm just getting a using the chef for protein vibe from him, which makes me wary. But I'm not a hater or whatever. He seems like cute and nice.
He's going to annoy us. He's going to annoy us. I'm just saying right now I'm enjoying him. He's going to go down the path of Culver where he'll be like, oh, he'll be fine. And then he'll turn out to be lazy and annoying and then sort of shitty. So like that will happen. But for right now, I'm enjoying this aspect of his personality.
Yeah. So Aisha is talking to Kaylee and she's like, all right, you're going to go with the deck team to set up. And then when the guests want to come, I'll come. Okay. You're going to do the beach picnic. It's very exciting. It's going to send Jen into a spiral for a reason that nobody can really understand. All right. Let's have fun.
Don't forget to not shove the placemats on the island. Jen in the background. Angrily looking out the window like she's putting the placemats out wrong.
So Joy is making sushi and she's like, I love sushi. A yacht chef is very important to know every cuisine. When I was working for my boss, he was a professional baseball player. He loved my cuisine so much, he offered to pay for my culinary courses all around the world. And I went to Verona Chocolate School, Cordon Bleu, Ducasse, Thailand, Master Sushi Academy in Japan. I fried from McDonald's. So many. I've cooked crazy things. Chicken feet, crocodile, the bowls of a rooster.
An entire human.
I've never heard of the balls of a rooster. Was that a thing? I've heard of bulls.
I guess so. Yeah, I've heard of different testicles, but I haven't rooster balls. Wait, it sounds vaguely familiar. It sounds vaguely familiar as a cuisine. I feel like I heard about it somewhere in some random ass thing. But generally speaking, I would say no. That's not something that like pings on my radar as like a cuisine. Who is eating the rooster balls? That's what I'll look it up, everyone. Guys, don't worry. I'm on the internet. I will take care of it. I don't know.
I've heard of that. I mean, I've heard of eating lots of different kinds of testicles, but I've just never heard of the rooster.
In what cuisine are rooster testicles consumed? I asked it very formally. And we're going to find out very soon.
It's really thinking about it, huh?
It's really thinking.
It's a long time for the internet. Whoa.
It's a lot on his mind. Okay, so rooster testicles, often referred to as chicken testicles or chicken balls, are consumed as a delicacy in several global cuisines. They are particularly prominent in Chinese, Vietnamese, and Hungarian cuisines. So there you go. They're prized for their soft, tofu-like or custard-like texture and are frequently used for their purported health benefits, such as boosting male virility and improving skin tone. You would have known that if you've been reading Men's Health since you were 15 years old.
We asked a very prominent rooster what he thinks of this, and he said, ow. Okay. That's his quote.
He said, cock-a-doodle don't.
Joy doesn't have to go to the picnic, and she's like, good, I can focus on cake, which is literally how I decline every invitation. Like, I'm so sorry. Gotta stay in the night to focus on the cake.
Great. I can focus on the cake. The autobiography of Ben Mandelker.
That'll be my political stance because they have like focus on the family and they're like down with gay people. I'm going to be like, you know what? Let's forget about the gay people for a second. Focus on the cake. Who's not going to vote for that?
Well, the problem is, unfortunately, you try to focus on the cake and then some baker in Colorado makes that an anti-gay issue. It's like, I'm just trying to focus on the cake. Why do you have to do this to us? Okay.
I just Joy ate a Down with Adam and Steve cake. It was delicious. It's not Adam and Steve. My acid isn't.
So Joy is, God, I would love a cake right now.
I would love cake right now. I'm so hungry for cake. By the way, I did eat that candy out of the trash yesterday. I'm And then I woke up mortified, of course. I threw some chocolate raisins, some choco raisins in the trash. And I was like, well, there's nothing disgusting in the trash. And they're wrapped individually. Girl, I took them out and wiped them down and unwrapped them and ate them while they're I watched Love Island. The worst thing to watch while you're binging out on something.
Like, oh my God, am I hot enough? I'm
like, like, let me have my garbage reasons.
I'm eating garbage candy and watching 22-year-old perfect bodies bang.
Well, I've got my college reunion, my 25-year college reunion coming up this weekend. So, of course, if you have a college reunion, you have to get into the best shape of your life, which is why I went and bought like some Kinder Buenos this morning because I can't stop eating those.
Do people do that before high school reunions?
Or a college, any reunion. I mean, the idea is that you want to go and look good, right? Be like, oh, hey, how's it going?
No, I didn't look good then. Why should I show up looking good now?
I put all my effort into looking good for BravoCon, and since then I've now been like, I can't be bothered.
Those people wouldn't fuck me then. They ain't going to fuck me now. I don't care. I'm going to do the same thing during the reunion I did during high school, which is smoke at the smoker's wall with the smoking people.
I'll be very intrigued if Mindy shows up to the reunion. That'll be really fun. I'll be like, hey, Mindy, I have been really into Kinder Buenos. Would you like one?
She's like, yeah. She's like, really? I've really been into making successful television shows. It's been fun.
I've been really into hanging out with Kate Hudson. Like, oh, well, I met Meredith Marks. She's like, I don't know who it is.
Okay, so we have the beach picnic getting set up, and there's been a request for a special cake celebrating their years on the Las Vegas Strip. Now listen, these people keep telling us how successful they are in Las Vegas. I've been to Vegas many times. Have you ever heard of the X shows? I mean, I've seen shows that are like X adult show, but I mean, that's kind of Vegas' literally never brand, right? Yeah,
literally never. But I also tune out all the shit for straight guys, except for the sports stuff. But like the scantily clad women showgirl stuff for the straight guys, it's like it does not even like it just goes right. It just cascades. Yeah. Right,
I see those billboards and I'm like, oh my God, I wonder if those girls want to go to lunch with me. They look so.
By the way, was there you know that the Vanderpump Hotel opened this weekend?
Of course, I do.
A lot of our colleagues were invited to it. It looked like a fun old time, right? Has there been any gossip that's come out of that you've heard of?
No, I didn't know that people were invited and we weren't. Why are you trying to ruin my day?
I mean, why should we be invited to it? It's not like we've been supporting Vanderpump Rules since the very beginning, including this season that everyone hated, but we liked. It's okay. Don't invite us.
Yeah, whatever, Dirks. Whatever. But I will go stay there.
I mean, it used to be the Cromwell. Now it's the Crombetta. But, okay. Well, if there's any good stories, someone tell us. So now we're back. Can you tell how much we're, like, trying to talk about anything but this show right now? So,
and it's a good show, too. So I don't know why, because it's pretty fine. Good season so far. So they're talking about the decoration of the cake, and Joy is asking if she can have Kaylee decorate the cake because Kaylee is, of course, also good at doing cakes, which is great. But oh my God, Jen is going to lose her fucking mind.
Oh, you do cakes too? Oh, don't think I don't see what you're doing.
You want to see how I decorate a cake? And we'll just cut to a picture of a wedding cake with a giant cleaver in the middle of it. There's your decoration. Yeah. So now Luke is Nathan's talking to Luke, and he's like I did tell Captain Sandy that Luke could be a bachelor, could be a lead back deckhand material. So now I just have to test him a little more and see that I can make the decision based on facts and not emotion. So let's see how he is as a potential lead deckhand. Oh no, Luke, you've just thrown the anchor into the wheelhouse. That's not where it goes. No. Oh no. Oh, terrible.
Yeah. So he lets him drive the tender. So Luke, Nathan is sitting next to him. He's like, okay, turn right. You're going to go right here. He's like, am I going past the brown hut? He's like, yes. Okay. Now walk down these steps, set it up. It's like, copy. So we know this is going to be a disaster. We just see it coming. So Kat is like, oh,
Hello there, Jen. Are you going to the beach?
And she's like, no, it's fine. She's like, oh.
I'll just be here fixing all the placemats that were shoved everywhere. And so then Kaylee is... there people are setting up at locker room and everything, and then Joe is he's talking to the charter guests and they're putting in drink orders. They ask for a Malibu Coke and he's like, what was that? He's like, Malibu cock. They want a Malibu cock.
So he's giving these orders on the radio and he gets to that and he's like,
and a Malibu cock. I'm sorry, that wasn't clear. A Malibu cock. Of what?
He's like, so wait, guys, what's in a Malibu cock? And they're like, oh my God, it's a Malibu and Coke.
Oh, it's a Malibu and Coke. So she's like, that makes way more sense. So the guests, they arrive at their picnic and they're very happy and there's a peacock. And then someone goes, I got bitten by a peacock at the Detroit Zoo. That's on you. I'm sorry.
Girls. These girls are so funny.
I got bitten by a peacock at the Detroit Zoo. I died.
Why were you that close to the peacock at the zoo? Anytime someone gets injured by an animal at the zoo, I'm like, that's your fault. That's your fault. The animals, those are animals and you're humans. You should know better. And if there's probably healthy barriers between you and the animal. So, like... Don't complain to me about your stupid incident.
It's like, well, this is why Carol Burnett never ate a peacock in that sketch.
That's right.
They'd better
ask. That's why we don't have peacock milk, nor are peacock balls part of any sort of world cuisine.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. This is the end of part one of this recap. For part two, keep an eye on your podcast feed. It is coming up in just a moment. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you on the second half.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
She answered the call. It's Adia Paul.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call, it's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS, we love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Gather round for the lore of Michelle Moore.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher. Hoggle your horses, it's Christine Hoggle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
Have a kebab with Kay Rob.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.